Welcome back to What's the Point of the Midrash, where we take a look at a rabbinic text and offer a suggestion to answer the question, what's the point of the Midrash? My name is Rabbi Josh Uter, and this week for Parshat Mishpatim, we have a Midrash directed specifically towards judges and how the judgment process should happen, at least from the mindset of the judges. This Midrash is Shmot Rabbah, Exodus Rabbah 32. Begins as follows: Ma ketiv lema'ala min ha'inyan velo ta'ale b'ma'alot al mizbechi. This referring to Shmot Exodus 20:23. This is the last verse in the previous parsha of Yitro that says you're not supposed to make steps leading up to the altar. The verse continues, Asher lo tegale ervatecha alav, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. And in the very next verse, the verse that begins this week's Parsha of Mishpatim from Shmot Exodus 21:1, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim livnehem. These are the rules, laws, statutes that you place before you. The Midrash asks, V'chi ma'inyan ze etzel ze? What is the connection between these two verses? Why does the Torah go from talking about not having steps going up to the altar so that you don't expose nakedness have anything to do with setting laws in front of you? This question is a common one you'll find in Midrash that deals with Semichut Parshiot, that the connections between one section of the Torah and the other, that when you've got what seemingly is a large topical leap between one verse or one section and another, a common midrashic question or point for exposition is, well, there must be some connection between the two of them. I think the classic example people give to illustrate this is on Vayikra Leviticus 25:1-2, where the very beginning of Parshat Behar, we're told, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Behar Sinai Limor, God tells Moses on Mount Sinai saying, and then goes into the laws of Shemitah, the laws of sabbatical, letting the land lie fallow every seventh year. And I think people know this because Rashi cites it with a classic line of Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What is the connection between Shmita, the sabbatical, and Har Sinai that it has to say specifically? Incidentally, this isn't just originally Rashi. Like many things in Rashi, he's citing an earlier rabbinic text. This one is from the Sifra on Behar. And the Sifra explains that just as Shemitah and all of its details were given on Mount Sinai, so too all of the Torah and all of their details were given at Mount Sinai. Just want to give that as an illustration of the type of question that you find coming up often in Midrashic exegesis and Midrashic exposition. And here, there's an additional question. V'harei k'tiv, behold, it is written in Shmot Exodus 28:42, Va'aseh lehem mechnesei vad lechasot besar erva. You shall also make for them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. They shall extend from their hips to their thighs, meaning part of the uniform that the priests would wear included some form of clothing to specifically cover their nakedness. So there's really a double question here. One is the connection between the steps to the altar and not having them, and this week's parsha of setting up laws, but also another related question of, well, we already have these protections against walking up the altar anyway with steps in order not to expose nakedness. So even with that rule, there seems to be a bit of an incongruity. Ella Amar Rabbi Avina. Rabbi Avina gives us the answer to this. He says, Kishem shehizhira kadosh baruch hu et ha-kohanim, just as God warned the priests, shelo yiyu posein pisiot gasot al gabei hamizbeach, that they should not take large steps going up to the altar, Ela yiyu mehalachim ekev bitzad gudal, but rather they should walk from heel to toe, meaning to put one foot directly in front of the other, such that there's no real space between them. Kach hishir HaKadosh Baruch Hu et HaDayanin shelo yafsi'u pisiot gasot bidin. So too, God warns the judges not to take large, big steps in judgment. One thing I find interesting about this metaphor of taking small steps in judgment is that we kind of use a similar imagery today. You may have heard someone has a leap in judgment or someone jumps to conclusions, where someone goes from point A to point Z, missing all of those little points of the alphabet in the middle. Here, Rav Avinah is saying that it is an integral part of Jewish judging that you should not take these great steps, but rather go step by step with minimal distance between these sorts of steps. I also find it interesting that the idiom here is compared to nakedness or being exposed. Another idiom we find in contemporary vernacular as well. If a weakness that was otherwise unknown is exploited, we're said that someone was exposed in terms of, well, their skills were not as great as we thought they were to be. If someone speaks about something that they don't really know, we can say that their ignorance was exposed because they're pontificating on matters that they don't fully understand. And even if they speak with great authority or with titles and trappings of expertise, once people start making very stupid statements like this, despite every other accolade they may have, we can say, well, their ignorance here has been exposed. That we now know that these people who are claiming to be experts or have certain expertise don't always know what they're talking about. And this can actually be a pretty big problem, because if you have someone who is in fact an expert who makes a stupid statement on something completely unrelated to their field of expertise, then our judgment of them being exposed can also extend to their fields of expertise, where now we start questioning their entire system of judgment, because if they're willing to expose themselves by making bigger steps than they otherwise have evidence for in one area, what's to prevent them from doing so in another area? I know I think this way, particularly when I read people that try to do interdisciplinary stuff involving Judaism. There's one book I have on my shelf that discusses comparative religious law. And when I read the section on Judaism and I say, well, this part isn't exactly right, that part's not exactly right, and to me it shows, well, you didn't really quite get this right, well, then that to me calls into question the person's expertise on all of the other systems of law. Meaning, if I can already identify, here's where he's getting things wrong or is not really precise and doesn't have a full understanding of the Jewish law of things that, you know, thank God I've got some knowledge of, why would I assume that he gets Buddhist law or Islamic law correct? Because I already know he's got kind of a superficial understanding on one. Maybe the author has a similarly superficial understanding of the others. When you have people in positions of authority whose judgments are important for the cohesiveness of society, making sure that every little I is dotted and every little T is crossed is critical for people who are supposed to rely on their authority to accept the legitimacy of what they're doing. Because if they see, well, you've just made a couple of leaps here, then maybe you've done it elsewhere too. And you start asking these questions on the system as a whole and questioning the legitimacy of the authority as a whole. That can be a starting point, a slippery slope, if you will, for questioning the legitimacy of the entire system, because now you've exposed the system to a certain degree of fallibility. Unfortunately, this is something that happens a lot today, also in the rabbinate, where you're going to find people, both rabbis and also maybe non-rabbis, who portray or purport themselves to be experts on Judaism, who will make statements or claims that have very big spaces between them. If you try to follow the logic between how you get from point A to point Z, you'll find that there are a lot of places that are missing. There are a lot of open spaces there that are just guesswork, or that people just may have made a leap without really understanding how do you get from one place to the other. And I don't mean that there cannot be at least certain gaps, but at least they would have to be addressed and acknowledged that on this point, I am making a conjecture, or in this point, it's a matter of opinion, as opposed to this is a matter of fact, meaning people don't always show their work about going from point A to point Z, including all of the presumptions of authority, all of their methodology and how they go from one place to the next. In some cases, it's, you know, not, I think, rhetorically useful to keep reinventing the wheel, but people should still be able to do that to show how these are the steps that you're taking. This is why all those steps make sense, why these are all justifiable, and perhaps even show like why you would go in, say, one direction as opposed to another direction. Unfortunately, in my experience, there aren't that many rabbis or people who speak authoritatively in the name of Judaism who have any sort of coherent system or coherent approach to how they address halachic or even theological questions on a general basis, yet have no problem speaking very passionately, very definitively about what Judaism is or isn't, to the point where they can also critique and yell at other people like, this is how you're getting this wrong and this is how you're getting that wrong. And really, when this happens and people start noticing, well, you just seem to be picking and choosing things, or what you said in one place doesn't make sense with what you said in another place, it's not uncommon for people to reach the conclusion that these experts are not actually following any sense of a process, but rather they're trying to justify the conclusions that they've already reached or the conclusions that they personally like or favor. And once people see that, oh, this is really how Jewish law operates, well, then you're not really following a system. It's just a matter of preferences of, you know, we're going to follow this person or that person, and the rules no longer matter. This is where I think you find the exposure that is so dangerous that's being warned about here, that just as you can have a certain degree of an exposure of nakedness by the altar, and instead of having these steps that people take, but rather you're supposed to go le'at le'at, little by little, when it comes to the ritual, so too you should do the same when it comes to matters of judgment or matters of logic or anything about Dayanut, so people can see every single step that you're taking, that you do not make very large leaps that may expose either your own ignorance of a particular subject or field in terms of things that you're not taking for granted as facts, but also that you do not expose yourself as being someone who's making these judgments or based on expertise completely on whim and completely based on your feeling, or at least if you're doing so, acknowledge that this is your sense, this is your intuition, or this is what you think things ought to be, without saying this is what is, and that this is what Torah mandates, this is what Torah requires, to the exclusion of all those others who disagree. That's my take. I'd love to hear your thoughts. What do you think is the point of this midrash? Please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. My handle is at Jayuter. Also on Facebook, or you can send me an email through my website at www.joshuter.com. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great week and a wonderful Shabbat.